Stephen, I want to take from my text the words of verse 6 in Jeremiah chapter 51. It says there, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul, and be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." This verse of Scripture is one that is full of great truth and instruction in the gospel. It is one not to be passed over lightly, but rather considered prayerfully and carefully. It is one that speaks of man fleeing to deliver his soul, and man not being cut off in his iniquity. And such themes must always cause us to sit up and give close and careful attention. If such solemn matters do not cause us to listen attentively to God's word, do not cause us to hear very carefully and very seriously, then we are in a very dangerous place, and I would fear for your soul. However, as we come to consider this verse of Scripture this evening, I want us to think about how God reveals himself in these words. For that too is a most serious and a most solemn revelation. We read near the end of verse 6, "For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." We learn here that God is a God of vengeance, one that will recompense, or one that will repay. The words "the Lord's vengeance" are translated out of the Hebrew words Jehovah Gamola, which means "the Lord who recompenses." And so God, by describing himself in this way, is showing us that he is a God of vengeance. God has given himself this title or this name, that he is a God that recompenses. He is a God of vengeance, a God that will repay. Men generally like to think of God as a God of love, one who cares for us and is always there to help us in our time of trouble. And that's generally how people like to think of God. God is a God of love, and God is there just to help us and to meet our needs. And of course, God is a God of love, one that does care. As we come to read the Bible, we cannot come to any other conclusion but that God is a God of love. The Bible describes a God that gave his only begotten Son to die for us and to suffer for us, who took the penalty of our sin. And he did it because he's a God of love. And so therefore the Scriptures reveal to us that very much God is a God of love. But at the same time, God is Jehovah Gamola, the Lord who recompenses. This godless, or the godless view that so many have of God today, that we can live in rebellion against God, we can break his commandments, we can live just to please ourselves and disregard all that God says, live as complete rebels to God, live in hatred of God, then, in the end, expect God to receive us into heaven just because he's a God of love. Such a godless view is very quickly done away with as we come to consider God in the Bible. A God that reveals himself in his word. Yes, he is a God of love. And yes, he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. And all that call upon him and all that seek mercy in him shall find it. But this God is also a God of vengeance, who will repay the sinner according to their deeds. This is what is very clearly brought before us in the words of our text this evening. The setting and context of these words is God's judgment upon the city of Babylon. Babylon in Scripture is symbolic of this wicked and this evil world, and the spirit of this world. It is a spirit of rebellion and of rejection of God. Babylon is symbolic of how this world will not accept God, will not bow to God's authority, but how this world will ultimately, totally and utterly reject the Christ of God. And Babylon is symbolic in Scripture of this. The first time that there is reference to Babylon in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 11. There we have the Tower of Babel, the Tower of Babel being built. The words Babel and Babylon are translated from the very same Hebrew word. And so we could read that the people there in Genesis 11, they built the Tower of Babylon. Babylon and Babel is the same word, means the same thing. But what we clearly see as the people built the Tower of Babel was that those people were rebelling against God. They were rejecting Him. We read there in Genesis 11 in the verse 4 that the people said, "Let us make us a name." Why did they want to make a name? Because they wanted to reject God. They wanted to live without God interfering in their lives. "We will make us a name for ourselves. We will make us a place to worship. We will make us a place to gather around. And we will be self-sufficient. We do not need God." That was the spirit of Babel. That's the spirit of Babylon. And that's the spirit of this world. A spirit that rejects God. A spirit of pride and defiance against God. The first time we read of Babylon in the Bible is men rejecting God. The last time we read of Babylon in God's word is in Revelation 18:21. And there we read of the mighty angel declaring the destruction of Babylon. And it says, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all." Notice the final destruction of Babylon will be, it shall be thrown down. You see, Babylon was always and is always trying to exalt itself against God and against Christ. But when its destruction comes, the destruction shall be that it shall be thrown down. It shall be cast down. God shall humiliate her and overthrow her. That shall be her final destruction. And so we see, the first time we see Babylon or Babel, it refers to men in their pride exalting themselves against God. The last time, we see that it is God throwing over Babylon because of their pride. And so Babylon in Scripture is symbolic of rebellion and opposition to God. And in Jeremiah 51 and verse 6, God reveals Himself as the one who will visit this state of rebellion. And He will visit it with vengeance. He is Jehovah Gamola. As we think then of how God reveals Himself as a God of recompense, we learn some very solemn truths about God's holy vengeance. And I want us this evening to note some of these truths. These truths are very solemn. They're very serious. We are dealing with the most solemn and the most serious subject that there could ever be. The vengeance of a holy and a just God. The vengeance of God. What a revelation this is. The revelation of how God reveals Himself as Jehovah Gamola. The first thing I want us to notice about this revelation is that Jehovah Gamola, His vengeance is that which is testified of. It's testified of here. Verse 6 tells us, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul, and be not cut off in her iniquity." What Jeremiah is doing here in this verse, and also in chapters 50 and 51, is he is warning the people of the destruction that is going to come upon Babylon. He is testifying to the people of how God is going to come and how He's going to deal with this wicked, this idolatrous, this rebellious, this defiant city, a nation. This city that had become so strong and powerful, it had crushed others and brought other nations down under its power. Now God testifies to the people that are finding it of how He is going to come, and in vengeance He is going to execute judgment against it. God wants the people in this place to be aware of the day of wrath that is coming. And so He testifies to them of this reality. Why? So that they would flee. The very first words in verse 6 imply action. Flee out. Flee out. Run, flee. And so the reason why God is testifying of His vengeance here is so that these people might flee. They might escape. They might deliver their souls. Yes, God is Jehovah Gamola, the Lord who recompenses. He is the God of vengeance. But the reason why God testifies of His wrath and of His judgment here is because He wants to give people an opportunity to escape. So we can say in one sense here, in a very real sense, this revelation of Jehovah Gamola was an act of mercy. Was an act of mercy. God just didn't suddenly come upon this place and destroy it. But no, He revealed unto them, He testified unto them of His nature, that He is a holy God, a God of vengeance. Why did He manifest Himself in this way? so that they would flee, so that they would escape. We must see this in a very real sense. This must not be missed. God speaks of his wrath so that we might flee from it and deliver our souls. The vengeance and recompense of God is not a scare tactic to frighten people into the kingdom of God. But it is a reality. A reality of what will happen to the sinner who continues on in his sin. And how many will say, well, listen, you're only scaring people. You're only trying to frighten people. My friend, if the reality of God's judgment and wrath and his vengeance doesn't scare and frighten you into seeking refuge in a place of shelter from the wrath of God, then there's something seriously wrong. It ought to frighten. It ought to be the thing that should bring terror to our souls. It is a most frightening and a terrible prospect. But the reason why God testified of his vengeance here was so that these people might flee. Over in Ezekiel chapter 33, this same truth is once again brought before us. If we turn over there to Ezekiel chapter 33, we read there how God speaking to his servant speaks along these same lines. In Ezekiel chapter 33, in the verse 1, tells us, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Here is a proverb that God is speaking to his people through. And he's saying, if you put a watchman over the city and there's a danger, there's a threat against that city, and if the man blows the trumpet, he warns of this danger. Well, if that danger is ignored, that man is going to perish. But he will perish despite the fact that one testified against him, to him about the danger that was coming. While others, if they listened to his warning, they escaped. What is the application? What is Christ saying here to his servant? Well, if you turn to verse 11, it tells us, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why was God testifying of his wrath? So that they might turn. Because he is a God that has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He testifies of his vengeance so that men and women and young people would turn and live. God was blowing the trumpet and saying, Jehovah Gamola, I am the God that recompenses. Therefore, flee from your sin. Deliver your soul from the righteous payment of God's justice. The sad and tragic thing about man and his sin is that in his rebellion against God, instead of taking this revelation of the coming vengeance of God as a message of love and saying, God is warning me. God in mercy is warning me to turn and that I might be saved. What do men do in their foolishness? They try to convince themselves that God is a God of love. And he will not recompense me for my sin. He will not deal harshly with me because of my sin. And they turn the warning of God into but a lie. That's all they do. Every time the judgment of God or the wrath of God or hell or any of these grave matters are brought to our attention in God's word, God in love is saying, flee from the wrath that is to come. The revelation of God's wrath is a revelation of love. Because it is like that watchman blowing the trumpet, testifying of the truth of God's vengeance and justice that is coming. How we need to heed this warning. This warning that God is Jehovah Gamola, a God of vengeance. In Hebrews 11, in the verse 7, we read about Noah. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Notice what Noah did. He was warned of God. He moved with fear. He saved his house. What happened? God testified of his judgment. Noah was moved by fear. Fear is a reality that ought to grip the sinner's heart. But when that fear did, and he moved, he saved his house. My friend, that's what you ought to do in the face of God's vengeance, in the face of the revelation of Jehovah Gomola. And so we see Jehovah Gomola, his vengeance is that which is testified of. Then notice, secondly, Jehovah Gomola, his vengeance shall be carried out in truth. His vengeance shall be carried out in truth. Verse 6 says, be not cut off in her iniquity. Be not cut off in her iniquity. Notice here as God speaks of how he will render unto her a recompense, he makes reference to her iniquity, the iniquity of Babylon. What God is saying is, flee from Babylon, for I am going to judge her for her iniquity. God's vengeance that would come upon her would be, in truth, who would come upon her as a payment for her iniquity, a payment for her sin. It was not just God suddenly taking a dislike to Babylon, or God wanting to break her power. No, his judgment, his recompense, God's vengeance that came upon her was the direct result of her iniquity, her sin. Therefore, God's vengeance would be that which is carried out in truth. She was going to get payment for what she had done. Among men, when they would recompense someone for something that they have done in them, perhaps someone has hurt them, someone has offended them, and men want to get vengeance, they're not interested in truth. They're not interested in justice. They're interested in vengeance and making the other person pay, making the other person feel hurt and feel pain and inflict as much as possible upon the person that has hurt them. And that's what men do as they seek for vengeance, as they seek for recompense. But this is not the recompense of Jehovah Gomola. God's vengeance and recompense is always carried out in truth as a direct payment for our deeds, our iniquities and sin. In Revelation 20, we have the scene of the great white throne, the terrifying sight of the one who sits upon the throne, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. But there was no place found for them to hide, as God revealed himself in his wrath and in his justice. But in Revelation 20, in the verses 12 and 13, we read these words. I want us to notice them. It says, and I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Notice how twice over Christ reveals, and this is Christ speaking in the book of Revelation, he reveals that these people shall be judged according to their works. Twice over, he makes reference to this. What is he saying? He's saying they're going to be judged for the things that they have done. Speaks about the books being opened. What does this mean? When God says the books shall be opened, God is saying that in the end, all men shall be judged according to the evidence. The evidence is there. God is recording our lives. He's recording the deeds of our lives, the things that we do. So therefore, God's judgment, God's justice, God's wrath will be in truth. Because he's recording the things and the deeds of our lives. Oh, as sinners, we might well forget about our sin. We might even be unconscious about our sin and the things that we do. But be sure of this, heaven is not. Every sin, every sinful thought, every sinful word, every sinful deed is recorded in heaven. Why? Because God's vengeance is that which is carried out in truth. It's carried out in truth. Sometimes when there is a court case and there's someone that is charged with a particular crime, the prosecutor wants to bring the evidence and prosecute. But very often, perhaps we could say in every case, all of the facts aren't there. All of the details aren't there. And the person that is the defendant is very glad. But when it comes to the final judgment, every detail will be accounted for, because it's all recorded in the books. And our judgment shall be in truth. God shall come, and he shall judge every man according to his works and according to his deeds when the books are opened. Jehovah Gamola, his vengeance is always carried out in truth. It is in relation to our iniquity. Therefore, if we are to escape this day of his wrath, it is imperative that we have our iniquities and our sin dealt with, that we have these things removed from us. It is absolutely imperative. There is only one way we can have them dealt with, of course. Isaiah 53 and 6 tells us, the Lord hath laid on him that is in Christ the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. That is all those that come to Christ, and all those that embrace Christ in the gospel. Christ is the place of refuge. He is the place of shelter from the wrath of God. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. In Christ there is safety. In Christ there is shelter from the vengeance of Jehovah Gomorrah. Only in Christ. Why? Because the wrath of God has already fallen in Christ for his people. When Christ hung upon the cross, when Christ suffered, he suffered in our place, in our stead. And he endured the vengeance of Jehovah Gomorrah. God wielded a sword against his son, and his son paid the debt of the sinner. And so therefore, when you come to Christ and you shelter in him and you take him as your Savior, you're forever free from the vengeance of a sin-hating God. And God shall deal with you in truth. In truth. Because Christ has taken your judgment and murdered your salvation. And so God dealing with you in truth in that day means that you will inherit eternal life. Jehovah Gomorrah, his vengeance shall be carried out in truth. His vengeance is that which is testified of. Notice also Jehovah Gomorrah, his vengeance shall be timely. It shall be timely. Verse 6 says, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. This is the time of the Lord's vengeance. God always recompenses in his time. We must notice that. God is saying to Babylon, this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. And God always recompenses in his time. He deals with his enemies at the time he has appointed. When we think of Babylon, that great and powerful city, God had allowed her to grow into her present state. And she was at that particular time the superpower in the world. She ruled and reigned over the nations. She was the great power, the great wealth, and the prosperity and the strength of the world was found in her. In fact, as verse 7 tells us, she was used of God. It says in verse 7, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations were drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon was like a golden cup in God's hand. She was rich and wealthy, and in God's hand, under his direction and under his disposal, an instrument in which he dispensed the cup of his wrath and vengeance upon other nations. And that's how God used Babylon. He used her pride and her arrogancy to go and to attack other nations that were rebellious against him. Other nations that had lived in sin and rebellion against God. God brought Babylon against them. And he even allowed Babylon to come against Israel and Judah for their sin. God judged Israel and Judah by the golden cup of Babylon. But then the time of God's vengeance had come for Babylon. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, says this, Babylon was employed as the rod in God's hand for the chasing of all the other nations. And now at length that rod shall be thrown into the fire. You see, Jehovah Gomorrah, his vengeance is always timely. It comes at his appointed time, and not before it, and not after it, but exactly at the time that God had set. We looked this morning at how God is sovereign over all the affairs of men. And here is another evidence of that truth. God allowing a wicked and rebellious nation to rise up and to deal with the sin of other nations. And then in God's appointed time, he would deal with Babylon for her own sin. In verse 31 in Jeremiah 50, this truth is brought before us very clearly. It says in verse 31, Jeremiah 50, "Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee." God is saying, your time has come. I'm going to visit you now. Again, the same truth is brought before us in verse 27 of chapter 50. "Slay all your bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation." The reason why God speaks of this day of visitation, this appointed time of his vengeance, was because these people had to realize that God was going to come and deal with them at his time. This wicked city, in their wicked deeds, they couldn't just continue to go on endlessly. But God had set a time, and God was making them aware of that time. God had set a point of time for them. You know, sinful man in his foolishness thinks that because he has got away with his sin, there will be no day of recompense. And that's what the vast majority in our society do today. They believe they can live without God. Why, we've got all that we need. People living in Babylon had all that they needed. It was wealthy. God describes it as the golden cup. It was a prosperous place. We don't need to be concerned about the gospel or about God or about the truth of God. Why, we've lived like this for years. That's what people say today. But they warned, God has a set time to visit, an appointed time. Romans 2 and 5 speaks about rebellious man and his sin. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Man in his sin, he stores up or he treasures up wrath against the day of wrath. And so as you continue to live in your sin, as you continue to live as a rebel against God, what are you doing? You are storing up to yourself more wrath, more vengeance. It's been treasured up for that day that God has appointed where he will unleash his vengeance against you. That is a very, very solemn thought. But that is what God teaches us in Romans 2 and 5. And that is what God was saying to Babylon. Your appointed time has come. The same truth again is brought before us in Psalm 94. If we turn there just quickly to Psalm 94. And this is a psalm that speaks about the vengeance of God against wicked men. Psalm 94. We see how it says in verse 1 about a day of wrath or a day of vengeance. Psalm 94, verse 1. "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself." The psalmist is saying, Lord, you're the God of vengeance. Show yourself. Where is your vengeance? Verses 3 to 7 tells us, "Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine inheritance. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it." Here are these people, and they're living in rebellion, they're living in iniquity and in sin. And what do they say? The Lord does not see, the Lord does not regard it. We can live as if God doesn't exist. That's what they're saying. And then notice what it says in verses 8 and 9. "Understand, ye British among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see?" What's the psalmist saying? God has taken account of it all. He's taken account. Then verse 23 tells us, "And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off." What does it teach us? It teaches us that no man live as if there were no God, and wicked men continue to do that to this very day. They continue on from generation to generation. And they say, we have continued, we have lived like this. Why do we need a word of the gospel? The God that formed the ear, shall he not hear? He does hear. And he's appointed a time in which he will come and he will cut them off. O Jehovah Gamol, his vengeance is always timely. It's always timely. And then finally, notice with me here, Jehovah Gamola, his vengeance is total. His vengeance is total. Verse 6 says, he will render unto her a recompense. Babylon's rejection of God was total. Therefore, the recompense or the payment in vengeance for this would also have to be total. It would also have to be total. As I've already said, these chapters, chapters 50 and 51, speak of Babylon's destruction. And what is clear from these verses is that God's vengeance against this wicked city that exalted itself against God was going to be totally comprehensive. Complete. Total. His wrath would burn hot and their destruction would be total in the end. Notice the words in verse 25 and 26 in chapter 50 again. It says, the Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as a heap, as heaps, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Notice what it says. God said, I'm going to open my armory. What is he speaking about? The armory of his vengeance, of his wrath, he's going to open that. Until there's nothing left. Until there's nothing left. Again, see verses 29 and 30. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work. Notice, she's going to be recompensed according to her work. According to all that she hath done. Do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off. In that day, saith the Lord. Notice, this is going to be total destruction. All the young men shall be cut off. Again, notice what it says in verse 35. A sword is upon the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans speaks about the people that live in Babylon. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, upon her princes, upon her wise men. Then verse 40 says, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. What is God speaking about? A total destruction. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. There'll not be one left. And so we can see that God, when he comes in vengeance, his recompense, his vengeance is both inescapable on one hand and it is total also on the other. Babylon was the city that all feared because it was wealthy and because it was strong. But when God moved against them, there was no escape. His all-consuming vengeance, it burned hot against them. And there was no hope. You see, you must realize tonight that Jehovah Gamola, when he recompenses, his vengeance is total. There is no escape. Absolutely none. There is no sidestepping the wrath of God. Oh yes, there is a place of shelter in Christ. But outside of Christ, it is total and inescapable vengeance and judgment. There is no hope. Absolutely none. Revelation speaks to us again of that day when the Lord who recompenses will move in the vengeance. Listen to these words. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand before the wrath of the Lamb? Not one. We are given a description of all types of men here. Right from the mighty man to the bond man. Not one shall stand on that day. What a solemn revelation Jehovah Gamola is. The question is, what is your reaction to that revelation? What is your reaction? Is your reaction the same as what is described in the opening words of verse 6? Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Well, that is what we ought to do. That is what we need to do. Flee. Flee to Christ. Flee to that place of shelter, that place of refuge. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." That's that place of deliverance from wrath and judgment. That place in which there is no condemnation. It's in Christ. And by faith in what He has done, that is where you need to flee to. To flee from Babylon. That which speaks of sin. That which speaks of pride. That which speaks of self. Flee in faith to Christ. And God will embrace you. And God will receive you. For that is the very reason why He sent His Son into this world. To provide somewhere that you could flee to. A city of refuge. A place of hope. If you do not, then you will forever know the vengeance of God upon your soul for all eternity. But if Christ is your Savior, then in judgment Christ will not be Jehovah Gamola to you. He will be Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He will give to you eternal peace and everlasting peace. But if you reject Christ, He will be Jehovah Gamola, the God of eternal vengeance. He will either be your friend or your foe. If you're not Christ's friend in time, then Christ will be your foe for all eternity. But this is the very purpose for which we preach the gospel tonight. That you might come and enter into Christ and be saved. And be delivered. And know the peace of God in your life and in your soul for all eternity. May you come. May you flee from the wrath of God. And may you even be saved this very night for Christ's sake.